Hi, this is Cliff Sarin from ComputerWeekly.com podcast, where you can download and listen to interviews with leading experts on key topics of IT management and technology. In today's interview, I'm speaking with Paul Michaels of Metri, an outsourcing IT consultancy. Paul will be talking to me about the five pillars of software development success.
Now, Paul, if a business does choose to develop its own software, there are a number of challenges that you've come across. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, Cliff. The first challenge is around the people. Have you got the right skills, or where can you get the right skills from? What we're seeing in the global economy now is a mixed model to deliver this software. So you're seeing people delivering part of the solution in-house and using external partners to deliver some of that with you, either offshore or nearshore or with you onshore. So it's very much a mixed model evolving. The issue is around the skill shortages, especially around specific technologies like Java and .NET. Where are those skills coming from? And this really is a global problem. As well as technical shortfalls, though, there are skill shortages within management. So experienced project and program managers are hard to find.
So if you have a mixed model of outsourcing parts of your software development and doing stuff in-house as well, that presumably presents a lot of business challenges. What have you found in that respect?
Yeah, the mixed model gives very much a governance challenge. You really need to have the right skill sets to manage this multiple delivery. What typically happens is that the key components are kept onshore. So understanding the requirements, the scope, the analysis and design is kept in-house and kept close to the customer. Aspects that are offshore are typically the build or the testing components. So we see a lot of testing centres being set up in places like India and China. But then once the solution has been built, it comes back onshore to be finally tested by the in-house team with the customer before being implemented. So this mixed model is componentised, but the key to success is how you manage each of the components and the overall governance structure.
Okay then, so there must be a management issues that IT directors will face. What have you seen, Paul?
Very, very much so. The management disciplines are very important here. We see the emergence of industry models to manage this. Things like PRINCE2 and project management skills are to the fore. How you manage and the overall project governance through all its phases is very important. But just as important are the processes through the life cycle of the delivery of the software. So how you do the analysis, how you develop the solution, test it and implement it. So the industry standard that's used there is the Capability Maturity Model, CMMI. And we see very much a diverse set of results from people that are immature at what's called level one through to the higher maturity organisations, that once they're maturing in their model, their repeatability in terms of their ability to do repeat solutions for their customers and building software matures and enables them to do this quicker, faster and better.
Now clearly it takes a lot of time and effort to go through CMMI accreditation and things like that, but are there tangible benefits in going through that process?
Very much so. It is a long journey, but the evidence is showing, information we see, is that typically the immature organisations at level one have up to 40% of their project is rework. So they're doing things again and again before they get it right. By maturing and getting to level two or three, this is down to somewhere between 10 and 20%. So there's huge benefits to be gained in terms of productivity, but also in terms of the quality of what's delivered. It's about a quarter of the defects are delivered in a solution once an organisation reaches level three. So significant benefits are seen to the customer by a maturing organisation. But it is a long-term plan. To get from level one to three is anything from 2 to 3 years.
Along with CMMI, what other processes and infrastructure frameworks need to be in place to ensure that a project is delivered on time and to budget?
There very much needs to be a culture of measurement and disciplines like ITIL in place, the IT infrastructure library. With a combination of both, you can steer effectively the solution that you're building. Again, this is like a cockpit of an aeroplane. When you're building your software solution, you need to have the right KPIs at hand, very much like the dials in the cockpit, so that you can see the performance of the project over its life cycle and make management decisions along the time, along the journey of the project. Typically, we see a lot of organisations don't measure defects during the life cycle, so they only measure the quality of what they delivered at the very end. And this can range from anywhere between 5% defect analysis of defect removal and reporting during the life cycle to the best in breed clients are finding 86%. So it's not a big leap from there to understand that the quality of what's actually delivered in the immature organisations leads to the customer finding the problems with the software as opposed to the IT organisation.
Of course, planning occurs at a much earlier stage, and you've got some experience of that as well.
Planning is one of the most important aspects to get right, that with the governance. It really needs to have strong project management skills like Prince 2 in place, and it needs to be clear in terms of what the goal is of the project. So what does the solution look like and the expectations of the customer? Historically, software was something that IT went away and built for some months, if not years, and come back with a solution and gave it to the customer. Now this needs to be a journey that's taken together, so along the way the customer can see what the solution is going to look like and also influence and maybe modify that as the journey takes place. Typically and historically, this has very much been a number of months that IT went away into some dark room and built a solution for the customer and come back when it was finished. The best of breed organisations, together with their customer through the whole life cycle of the project, so that the customer can influence, understand and see the solution as it evolves. This is a very important aspect, that it is a joint project and not just an IT project.
Now, in terms of planning, things can actually occur right at the very beginning when companies are just at the RFP stage. What's happening there, Paul?
When customers decide to have a solution built for them by a third party, they need to be very clear on what their requirements are and their specifications and needs are to the market, so that when they do get the responses back, they can analyse them correctly and compare and contrast the responses. Typically, there are a wide variety of methods that can be used to achieve the goal at the end. So it does, unless you are very clear on the specific requirements you have and how the solution should be architected in line with your technology, you would find it very difficult to review the responses that you get. So it's very important to be clear in terms of what your expectation is, your timescales, what measures will be used along the journey with the provider, and how ultimately, what criteria you would use to compare the RFPs and make a decision, not just on the price.
So it seems that managing a software project is quite a lot of effort. What advice do you have for IT directors, IT managers and people who are embarking on a project right now?
The key areas of advice would be one about governance, to get the right solution and the right people working on the project and how you would manage that to ensure the ship is steered correctly. But also, just as important, is about the key performance indicators you're going to use to steer the project during its course. Best practice is to measure what is known as the five pillars of application development. So if you have metrics through the life cycle that cover these five pillars, you will have the right guidance and gauges in place to steer your ship correctly. And these five pillars revolve around productivity. Do you know how productive are the people that are working on the project, what's being delivered? Typically defined as size over effort. Do you have clear understanding of the cost or the price of the project through its phases? In the third area would be around quality. So are you able to measure the defects during the life cycle? And as I mentioned earlier, most organisations only seem to measure this quality metric at the end of a project when it's implemented, rather than through the development life cycle. Do you have a clear understanding around the time it takes you to deliver, the time to market, and how much time you're spending in each phase? So this would give you a clear guidance in whether you're spending enough time up front in the analysis and design phase. And in fact, what we notice from our database is that best-in-class organisations are spending around 48 to 50% of their time at the front of the project on the analysis and design, getting the requirements correctly, whereas the lower end, we're seeing results of around 13%. So there's quite a ranging difference. And I think getting that, spending more time up front is an important aspect before diving into building the solution. And the last area in terms of the five pillars is about the management disciplines and the process maturity. So this is, comes back to the disciplines you use, aspects like CMMI, in terms of how do you build the solution. And the processes have the biggest impact on all the four other pillars. So improving your processes will be the major determinant of cost and quality of what you deliver.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for listening. Please join me again on www.computerweekly.com/podcasts.